And remain standing and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8 today. Matthew chapter number 8, and we'll begin in verse number 1. The title of this morning's message is The Lord Over Disease. Lord Over Disease. We're going to look at the story of Jesus cleansing a leper. And as we just sang, his power alone can cleanse or change the leper's spots. There in Matthew 8, verse number 1, I'll read down to verse 4 today. The Word of God says, When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let's pray. Lord, as we come today, we are grateful that the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, can wash away all sin. Lord, I pray that as we study this miraculous story today, we would be reminded of this truth that not only are you Lord over disease, but that you are Lord over all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, it took us about 23 weeks to finish Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it did not take him that long to preach it. But Jesus is finished. He finishes his sermon. Now, let's remember something from the beginning. As Matthew is recording these things, he is not trying to put everything in the exact chronological order. He is not trying to list every miracle that Jesus performs. Matter of fact, the Gospel of John says if we had everything that he did, the world would not contain the books that could be written about Jesus. Matthew is also not randomly selecting miracles and stories to include in his Gospel. He's not saying, man, I really like this one. You know, let me put it in. No, he is proving to us in this chapter that Jesus has the power over disease. He has the power over demons. He has the power over the natural world. And in the next chapter, the power over sin. Remember, Matthew's gospel is all about Jesus as the king, the heir to the throne of David. Some refer to this section as the credentials of the king, because miracles are the way that Jesus testified of his deity. After the Sermon on the Mount, everyone would have been asking, like, is this really him? Could this be the Messiah? The one that we have been waiting for, the true king? And in Matthew 8 and 9, Jesus leaves no doubt. Each of these miracles recorded for us seek to communicate one thing. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over all. Let me remind you how the end of chapter 7 went. In Matthew 7, verse 29, it says this, For he taught them, notice, as one having authority. As one having authority and not as the scribes. He is speaking, man, this guy is speaking as if he has some authority. Matthew chapter 8, he proves he does in fact have that authority. He doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. He doesn't just speak as if he has authority, he backs it up. He doesn't just speak as if he's Lord, he proves that he is Lord. As he finishes the greatest sermon ever given, he follows it up by undeniable proof that this preacher, the son of a carpenter from the town of Nazareth, is the very Son of God and God the Son, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you say amen this morning? Today we will see how Jesus is Lord over disease. And I encourage you to be back next week because there's a part two to this. I won't say everything I want to say on this subject, Lord over disease. Beginning in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So he finishes the sermon. He comes down off of the mountain. The Bible says the people are astonished. And now there's a crowd that's following him. Who wouldn't want to follow him? After all the things that he had just said, where's he going? What's he going to say next? What's he going to do next? Here, Matthew is about to give us his first record of a detailed healing in the gospel. He does that in verse number 2. It says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Behold, there came a leper. Behold is a term of amazement. It's telling us something striking is about to happen. Look, behold, a leper is coming. A leper is approaching. Now, why is that something that we would behold? Why is that a big deal? Because people with leprosy weren't allowed to approach anyone. They weren't allowed to come close to anybody because it was forbidden. The law of Moses forbid it. Leprosy was highly contagious. And in that time, it had no known cure. Let me give you a few details about this horrific disease. Leprosy was a skin disease. There were many different forms. It's not exactly like we see today or understand as leprosy today. But in some cases, it would literally eat away at your flesh until you died. It changed the way you look. There were certain types that leprosy affected the feeling and sensitivity you had in your limbs. So often you would see a person with leprosy and you would identify them because they're missing fingers. They're missing toes. They might be missing an ear or even the nose on their face. The disease itself didn't naturally cause these to fall off. No, but because they lost sensitivity or the pain receptors in their body, in certain cases, they would literally rub the limbs off of their body without even noticing it. It was horrific. It not only changed the way you looked, it changed the way you sounded. Leprosy would affect the muscles in your throat and even your vocal cords. It would change the way you spoke. This man's body would have been full of leprosy, mutilated from head to foot, rotten, stinking, repulsive. There was even a smell that came along with it. So you could see a leper coming. You could hear a leper by the sound of their voice. You could even smell the leper approaching. Leprosy robbed you of your name. You lost your identity. We're not even told what this guy's name is anymore. Why? Because it doesn't matter what your name is. Now you are a leper. And that's how you'll be known the rest of your life. It was a life-changing disease. It didn't matter who you were. It robbed him of his hobbies. It robbed him of his occupation. The book of Leviticus tells us a little bit more about this horrible disease. Leviticus 13, verse 45, it says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." Verse 46, "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean." Notice this. "He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." Their clothes were to be torn, their heads uncovered. And we're told that the leper was required, when being approached or approaching anyone, that they would cover their mouth. They thought this was an airborne disease, so it would spread through somebody just speaking to you. Cover their mouth and cry out, "Unclean, unclean, stay back, stay back. I'm a leper, unclean." You understand what this means? They were ostracized, set apart, alone. Mothers, if you had leprosy, you could no longer hold your children. Husbands, you could no longer touch your bride. On top of all of the physical elements that would come because of leprosy, they were spiritually defiled. They weren't allowed to come to the temple. They were ceremonially unclean, which means you couldn't offer sacrifice, you couldn't offer worship, you were barred from the presence of God. Josephus, the Jewish historian, summarized leprosy like this. He said they were treated as if they were already dead. It was literally a living death. Can you imagine the humiliation that came with this disease? Can you imagine the isolation that came from this disease? Here's a thought that I came across. What Matthew is doing here is proving to us the deity of Jesus by his miraculous works over disease, over demons, over the natural world, and later over sin. Of all the people Jesus could have chosen to heal, do you think that there were any sick Pharisees in that time? Of course there were. But he doesn't go to any of them. Do you think that there were any Sadducees or scribes that had diseases? Absolutely. But he doesn't go to them. No, instead, he went to the absolute worst of the worst, a leper. Now, those Pharisees, oh, they were clean on the outside. They had their beard cut just right. They had their clothes just as they should be. Ceremonially, they were perfect. And yet inside, Jesus said they were filled with dead men's bones. And then you have this leper. Here he comes, who on the outside is diseased, literally decaying, yet in humble reverence, he bows to worship. If this doesn't convince you that the outside doesn't matter and that anybody can come to Jesus, I don't know what will, right? Verse number 2, what does he do? And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. There are other records in the other gospel accounts of this same story, and we learn from those other stories, this man actually falls down, prostrate, face down on the ground, and begins to worship. As the Magi fell down to worship Christ at his birth, so does this leper, which is incredible. Because think of all the people that just heard Jesus preach. And what was their reaction? Astonished. We don't read any of them fell down and worshiped. And yet this man has a greater response than anything we see from anyone who listened to the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, you can hear and not do anything about it, and that doesn't do anything for you, right? He falls down, and what is the first word out of his mouth? What is it? Lord. Lord. This wretched man, unclean and vile, this outcast knows more than all the Pharisees of Israel. And he doesn't just call him Lord, Lord, like Jesus just taught us about. No, he falls down before him as Lord. What is he saying? Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. It's in the present tense, indicating that he is repeating this phrase over and over with his face to the ground, his voice hoarse from his decaying vocal cords. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He is the perfect picture of what Jesus just preached. In Matthew 5, verse 3, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Should we not also have this humble heart of the leper? Every time we approach God's throne of grace, if you want, Jesus, Lord, if you will. Some would say that this guy lacked faith. If you look at what he says, if you will, like if you want. You know, there are some who would have rebuked him and said, hey, that's not faith. That's not faith. You shouldn't pray like that. No, you should decree this and declare this. Jesus, you will do this. I know you're going to do this. Jesus, that's real faith. No, I would say this guy had all faith. He prays exactly as we should pray. Lord, if thou will, you can do this. That word, when he says you can do this, is one word in the Greek, dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. You understand what he's saying? Jesus, I know you have the power, the dynamite. I know you have the ability. I know that you're able. I believe that you are able. Lord, that's faith. If you will, if it's your will. He knew who Jesus was. He knew Jesus was Lord. He knew that Jesus could heal. The only thing he didn't know is if Jesus would heal him. You tell me what faith is greater. The one who says, Lord, you have to do this. I know that you'll do this. Or the faith that says, I know you're able, I know you can, but even if you don't, I'll worship you anyways. And which one are you? There were some that when Jesus healed them, after he healed them, then they worshiped him. This guy worships before Jesus heals him. Which one are you? Are you the one that says, God, if you do this, and when the Lord answers, then you worship? Or are you the one that says, God, even if you don't, I know you can, and if you will, Lord, then I'll praise you. But if you don't, I'll worship you anyways. Here's what I believe. I genuinely believe that this man, when he came to Jesus and said, Lord, you're able, if you will you heal me? I think that if Jesus would have said, I am able, but I'm not going to heal you, I think he still would have worshiped. That is faith. But Jesus does heal him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he cleansed him. He made him clean. In verse number 3, we see the miracle take place. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. You realize how ludicrous that statement is? He touched him. He touched the leper, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I want you to think about this situation. He finishes the Sermon on the Mount. He comes down off of the mountain. There is a crowd of people who are following him. And then behold, look out, it's a leper who is approaching. I think there would have literally been those who reached down and picked up rocks to throw at this guy. Stay back, what are you doing? Get away from us. No king, no ruler, no religious leader would ever do what Jesus is about to do. He puts forth his hand. He reaches toward him. Friend, do you understand? Since the moment he was declared unclean by the priest, no one ever reached toward this guy. No one ever went forth toward him. No, as soon as they saw him, they backed away, repulsed. Everyone, all of his life, were constantly moving away from him, but Jesus reaches forth. What a compassionate God we have. I can almost imagine Peter or one of the other disciples as they see Jesus reaching toward this guy. He's right at his feet. He reaches toward him. I can imagine Peter's like, no, 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 wait, wait, wait. The Bible says Jesus reached forth and touched him. I wish I could have seen the look on the faces of those in the crowd when Jesus touched this guy. Did he touch him? No. He touched him? This is breaking rule number one when it comes to someone with leprosy. The number one thing you don't do is touch someone with leprosy. It's bad enough to be around them or to speak to them. Never, ever, ever, ever touch them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And the crowd looked on in shock. And the disciples looked on in horror. You understand, if Jesus becomes a leper, his ministry is over. Over. They were probably terrified for their rabbi. Now, I want you to really think about something here. Did Jesus have to touch him? Did Jesus have to touch him? No. Could he have stood 100 feet away and healed the guy? Could he have done it from a distance? By the way, which is exactly what he does in the next miracle in Matthew chapter 8. He heals somebody, he's not even around him. He can't even see the person and he heals him. Could he have done that here with this leprous man? Absolutely he could have. He could have spoken. He is the same Lord who created the heaven and the earth, who spoke the stars into existence. Surely healing a leper with a mere command or a snap of his fingers was well within the realm of his power. And yet Jesus touches the man. Why? To prove that he is the Lord over disease. He didn't have to touch him, but he did. J. Vernon McGee paints a picture, a vivid picture, of what this leper's life could have been like. Have you ever stopped to think about this man? That he not only had a physical disease, but can you think of his leprosy, how that would have psychologically destroyed him? We don't know this man's background, but let's imagine one day that he noticed just a breaking out on his hand, just a small rash. He was out in the field and he was plowing all day, and he comes inside and he says, honey, to his wife, can you look at this? I don't know what that is. And so she grabs some ointment and she puts it on, and the next morning he wakes up, it's just as red as it could ever be. But he goes back out and he plows in the field again that day, and this goes on for a week, and now his wife, his bride, is getting a little concerned. She says to him, honey, maybe just for the time being, let's not have you play around with the kids right now. And as she becomes worried, she says, you may go and talk to the priest and have him take a look at that. So he goes to the priest. The priest isolates him for 14 days. That was the law. 2 weeks he would be isolated. When the priest comes back to him, the disease isn't in the same place. Now it's spread over his entire body, and he is declared unclean. That I'm sorry, but you have leprosy. You're unclean. And so the man asked the priest, well, can I go and tell my wife and children and say goodbye? And the priest says, I'm sorry, you cannot tell them goodbye. You cannot put your arm around your wife again. You cannot hold your children in your arms anymore. And when people come near you, you need to put your hand over your mouth and cry out, unclean, unclean. He saw his children grow up from a distance. They would leave him food in a certain place, and he would come and get it after they had withdrawn themselves. He could not touch them. In fact, he had been unable to touch anyone, and no one had been able to touch him from the moment he became a leper. How long had this went on? Weeks? Months? Years? And then one day, he comes to Jesus. He falls before him on his face, Lord, if thou will, I'll be clean. And Jesus reached forth his hand and touched him. How compassionate is our Savior? Separated from his family and friends, how long had it been since this man had any contact or any personal touch from any human being, and all it took was one touch from Jesus. One touch from the Lord over disease undid years of suffering and ministry. You know, when we touch something that is defiled, we become defiled. When we touch something that is contaminated, we become contaminated. Even if I'm clean, if I touch something unclean, the unclean makes the clean unclean. But when Jesus touches something that's unclean, he does not become unclean. No, the unclean becomes clean. And so it is with this man. He is immediately cleansed. Not like the phony fake healers or faith healers today, who they heal someone and, hey, give that about 3 or 4 weeks and you should feel a lot better. No, when Jesus healed somebody, they were healed for good. Let me remind you, and really encourage you to come back next week as we talk more about what happens when the Lord doesn't heal us. Yes, he's Lord over disease, but what happens when we come to him and we say, Lord, I know you can. If you will, make me clean. And Jesus, in his sovereignty, says, I won't right now. The greatest healing that you need in your life, let me remind you, is not physical, it's spiritual. Jesus came to seek and to save your lost soul, not simply to heal your broken body. Oh, don't be mistaken. If he saves your lost soul, he will heal your broken body in glory, even if he chooses not to do so here on earth. But the reality is, if Jesus would have healed this man's leprosy on earth, but not saved his soul, he would have been temporarily comforted and then eternally punished. Leprosy gives us probably the most vivid picture of sin in the entire Bible. Think about it. What does sin do? It's disgusting. It contaminates. Oh, it spreads. It is incurable. It's ugly. It separates us from God, does it not? This is the image that the Lord uses in the Bible. We're given this picture. Isaiah 1, verse number 5 says this. Why should ye be stricken any more? He's speaking about the children of Israel who had rebelled against God. They were in sin, and this is how he describes their sin. They're stricken. Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Verse 6, notice this. From the sole of the foot even unto the head. He's talking about the disease of leprosy. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This is how the Bible pictures us in sin. Like the leprous man, contaminated, unclean, separated because of our sin from a holy God. Now, here's what mankind does. Even in our leprous condition, we think, but if I do enough good, God will overlook all of that disease. If I can just be righteous enough. And here's what we're doing. We're taking some rags and we're wrapping it around those wounds and saying, it's fine. It's okay. It's not that bad. Look, I covered it up with all this good works. Later, Isaiah 64, verse 6 says this. But we are all as an unclean thing. Unclean. Unclean. Before Christ, every single person in this room could cry unclean. We are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, if you've heard that verse preached on or taught on before, there are a few different ideas the commentators have what exactly the rags were referring to. But many commentators say that they're talking about the rags of someone who has leprosy, who covers his wounds. You know the problem with those good works? Hey, preacher, what? I mean, I get it, I'm a sinner, but you're saying my goodness, all of my righteousness, it means nothing? Oh, it's less than nothing. I'll tell you why. Because all you're doing is wrapping all that sin up in these rags, saying, oh, it's fine, it's okay. And to God, all of that righteousness are like those filthy rags. Imagine Somebody took those rags off. They balled them up. The rags from a leprous person. Hold them up to God and say, God, look what I brought you. The way the Bible pictures it is that God is repulsed. Filthy rags. Say, well, what's wrong with the rags? I'll tell you what's wrong. You touched them. And even though they are righteous works, because you did them, you're dirty. Now they're unclean too. Even our righteousness are as, hear God, filthy rags before the Lord. Can I give you some good news? Even though the Bible pictures sin as leprosy, this incurable disease, Isaiah 1, back to chapter 1, right after he talks about how they have sores from the sole of their foot to the top of their head, Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Praise the Lord for that. Even though you're dirty, you're filthy, you're unclean, if you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for your sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day, the blood of the Son of God will wash away your sins. Doesn't make sense, but that red blood will make you as white as snow. You can be clean. And now our story comes to an end. Jesus makes a very strange request. Look at verse 4 of Matthew 8, and we'll be done. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, don't miss this phrase, for a testimony unto them. Jesus says to him, don't tell anyone. What? How could he ever keep this quiet? Why would Jesus say such a thing? Well, there's a few reasons why Jesus might tell him, hey, don't tell anybody. There's another account of this story in Mark's gospel. In Mark chapter 1, verse 44, it says this. Maybe this gives us a good idea. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. And here's this phrase again, for a testimony unto them. Well, who's them? Well, the ones who declared him unclean in the first place were the priests. There were rules. There was a law according to the law of Moses that if a leper was to be declared clean once again, he must go to the priest. He must show himself to the priest. They're going to quarantine him and monitor him for some time. He's going to make certain offerings as it is required. And when all of that is said and done, the priest who called him unclean in the first place will declare him clean. And Jesus says, do all of this for a testimony unto them. When it's all said and done, and they say you're clean, that priest is going to say, I saw you. I was here all those years ago. There was no way you were going to recover from the leprosy you had. What happened? And then the man could say, Jesus cleansed me. A testimony unto them. I can imagine as he's walking, he's like, okay, Lord, I'll go to the temple. And as he's going off, he sees somebody he knows, and he's like, oh, I just got to tell you something real quick. And then another, and then another. And so that's one reason. Jesus is saying, hey, let's do this by the book. There's another reason why Jesus may have said this in the next verse, Mark 1, verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much. And I love this phrase, and to blaze abroad the matter. He can't stay quiet. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, here it is, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You understand what it's saying? Jesus knew if this guy, if people started finding out what happened to this leper, everybody would be at Jesus' doorstep. And that's exactly what happened. The crowds became so great, Jesus could no longer continue his ministry in the city. He had to withdraw to the wilderness. Perhaps that's why he told him, don't tell anybody. As a result of this man's evangelism, Jesus was no longer able to continue his ministry there. Think about it. The leper was so effective in telling others that Jesus has to get out of town. His life is completely changed. Now, I want you to consider the irony here. Jesus commanded him not to speak, and he did. Why? He could not keep inside what Christ had done for him. He could not keep inside what Christ had done for him. Now, we are commanded over and over to speak, to go, to tell, to witness, and yet we keep silent. And although it may not make sense completely to us why Jesus would command the leper to remain silent, he has given you no such command. He has not called me to be quiet. No, he has called us to speak. I mean, I read the story, and maybe you feel the same way. I'm like, well, can you blame the guy? Do you realize the first thing Jesus tells him to do, he disobeys? And we're like, I know, but. I mean, could you blame the guy? Would you have been able to stay silent? Maybe you're like, preacher, if Jesus did that for me, there's no way I would have been able to keep it to myself. I would have been telling everybody. Would you have been silent? No way. I wouldn't be able to be silent. Can I ask you, then why are you silent now? Because Christ has done much more for you in saving your soul and cleansing your sin than he ever did for that man's physical needs. So why are we silent? You know, there are certain times in the Bible, Jesus healed at one point 10 lepers at one time. You know what the Bible says? One turned around to give him thanks. We read a story like that and we're like, how? How could you not give praise and worship to this man after what he did for you? That's a great question. We see this story and we identify with the guy and we say, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to keep silent either. Then why are you keeping silent now? I imagine that when this man approached those that he was familiar with after Jesus healed him, I imagine at first they were skeptical. Wouldn't you be? The last time you saw this person, you were moving in the other direction, and now he's coming towards you. The thought of his family, his friends, they were probably thinking, wait a sec, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Because every time since he was declared leprous, as the priest found it in him, every time from that moment forward, when he saw someone he knew or he loved, he would do the same thing. Unclean! Unclean! Unclean. And now as he approaches with the joy of the Lord on his face, he's saying, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. And Jesus can do the same thing for you. You stand with me this morning. As you stand, if you would bow with me for a moment. Any preparing to get baptized can come at this time. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and there has been a time in your life where you have personally put your faith in Jesus for salvation, maybe today you would even say, preacher, I'm clean because of Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? Amen, all across this room. What about you, friend? Have you been washed? in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is only the blood of Jesus, the Bible tells us, that can make the sinner clean. Not your own works, not your own goodness, your own righteousness. Remember, that righteousness, oh, it's like filthy rags before God. Because everything you touch, even the good deeds, become unclean. You're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus. I want to invite you to come this morning and do just that. Turn from your sin. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And He will save your soul. He'll make you clean. And that sin, even though it's like scarlet, will be white as snow. Even though it's like crimson, it'll be as wool. You need to be saved. I invite you to come. We have a lot of folks in our church right now that are suffering from sickness, illness, and disease. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody that you know, one of your fellow church members. You want to ask in faith God would heal them. Maybe you are that one. You've been struggling. You've been sick for some time. You've been praying. You've been going to the doctors. I want to invite you to come this morning and humbly approach the Lord in faith. Maybe you would pray something like, God, I know you're able. I know you have the power. And if you will, I believe, I have faith that you can make me clean. And then as you leave this altar, perhaps you would pray, but even if you don't, I'll worship you anyways. Father, as we come to you now, we do lift up these who are sick. Lord, they have been inflicted in this fallen world with disease, different ailments. Lord, we know that you have the power. We know that you are able. We know that you are Lord over disease. God, I pray that you would touch them. That's all it would take, Lord. One touch from you, they would be clean. They would be healed. Lord, I pray in faith, you will. But even when you don't, and if you don't, God, give us the strength to worship you anyways. Lord, for the one who has not found salvation in your Son, Jesus, I pray that today would be the day they call out to you. Make them clean. In Jesus' name, amen.